Welcome to the CDN show, the voice of the world community. And tonight we have again, Brother Thomas is going to be hosting for us. So I'm going to turn it over to him. Go ahead and do your thing, Brother Thomas.
I would just like to apologize. My father, he wasn't feeling well tonight, and we're gonna have to reschedule and for a time where my dad is feeling a little bit better to conduct an awesome interview. What I'm doing is I'm writing a biography about my father's life, being the fact that he was went through the penitentiary, evolved into a Black Panther, still dealt with a crime recidivism type of lifestyle after the fall of the Black Panthers, but eventually evolved to get his bachelor's, master's, and doctorate in religious studies, where he decided to invent himself as a penitentiary preacher to reduce crime rates and reduce repeated offenders from returning to prison. And he's like my superhero for the transitions that he's made. And I wanted to share his life story with the audience. So we're just going to have to reschedule in hopes that my father's able to do it. Right now he suffers from a medical condition, diabetes, and that's kind of really, something that is messing with his how he feels sometimes. So we'll pray that I'll be able to interview him and expose the community to a living legend. So instead of that, we'd like to talk about some issues today. What do you how do you want to go about it, Brother Rosicky?
Well, it's the Black Community News Forum, and Professor Ra joins this type of forum, and we always start with what's good in the Black community. So I guess we could
The black world, well, we're worldly people. We
Yes, sir.
are the world. And so, first of all, I'm going to start off. Thanks, Roger T. I'll take over because you're not feeling that well either. And none of us are. First of all, I want to say Asante Sana to Sister Linda and Sister Brother Mashinda and DX and Brother Thomas for coming on and talking about the news forum. Whole purpose of the news forum is talk about Black news. I talk about the news from a Black perspective. And, and try to cut through the maulers, the liars, the disturbers, the distractors of truth that we get from the mass media and put it in a Black perspective. But we always start off, is there any good news from the front line? Meaning Black people that are protesting or resisting or doing things that reflect their struggle toward making the world a better place for themselves and the rest of the people on this planet. And second, good news. They have demonized Black people throughout history to the point that, as Malcolm said, they teach you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And so a lot of times Black people say, if it wasn't for Black people, I wish I wasn't Black, all that type of stuff. And so we look for the good news, the good things that Black people are doing. Let me give you an example. This brother was playing football. He fell out, had a major, they had to resuscitate him on a professional football player. And Buffalo Bill, DeMar
Hamlin.
Hamlin, he, but they, generally, years ago, when they playing football, they just say, get him off the field, and let's continue the game. But the majority of the professional football players now are Black, and they say they ain't gonna play the game. Now, white folks jump in front of it and act like they called it off. But it was the brothers that took the position, hey, that's our brother that been fail. The game ain't that important. That could have been any of us. His mother was there. She was resilient. Just a beautiful thing of black unity where they prayed and where they just said, we're going to stop this parade. And that was a beautiful front line situation. Because like they said before, you know, when Hank Gathers died, they didn't cancel the game. When other athletes have had catastrophes, the game was more important. You know, the game must go on and all that. These brothers resisted, and we appreciate that. The same thing is going on in Brazil and around the world about Pelé, the soccer player. World-renowned example of black excellence and achievement in the world of soccer as the premier soccer player of the world who made his transition. And he was so good that two countries were fighting. They stopped fighting just to let him play the game in their country that they were fighting. He exemplified again black excellence and achievement to become such a world-renowned player that not only revolutionized soccer like Muhammad Ali revolutionized boxing, like Tiger revolutionized golf, he revolutionized soccer by coming up with unique plays and unique kicking styles, and he's just renowned all over the world. And so we give praise and thanks for the good he brought in the world, and is an example of black excellence from that standpoint. Another good thing on the front line was the Bruce Beach situation, where they're going to sell the Bruce Beach. It was in Manhattan Beach, and white folks stole the property from black people 100 years ago. They struggled and got it back. And they were charging, I don't know how much a month to lease it once they were giving it back. Now they're selling it for $20 million to the county. That's a good thing to get empowered economically from that standpoint of them saying, hey, look, you know, I've been out to Bruce Beach. It's in the middle of a neighborhood between apartments and stuff, and then you can see the beach from there, but they didn't put apartments behind it. It's not like it was. And I guess the family just said, hey, look, you white folks want it, y'all can have it, but you're going to pay me $20 million. I think that's a good deal, and I deeply appreciate them doing that. Then one of the frontline information is his brother named Matula Shakur, who is the stepfather of the rapper Shakur. He just got out of prison through effort. He was part of the Black Liberation Movement. He's part of the Black Congress. He's part of all major. Matter of fact, they consider him the first one that dealt with herbal healing, and one of the first brothers that popularized it. And Asada Shakur was in prison. When Asada Shakur was in prison, I think I told y'all before, I couldn't remember his name, but it's Matula Shakur. They gave him 60 years, not for doing anything. They said he was the mastermind of an armed truck robbery, meaning that they put him in prison for heresy, the way he thinks, like they assassinated King. Why did they kill King? Because of the way he thought. Malcolm. Why did he kill Malcolm? Because of the way he thought. That's called heresy. And the only way you can stop heresy is through assassination. Because people have just great minds and you can't stop them. I mean, so they said that he is the one. But what happened, Asada was in prison. And this is one of the first prison breaks in Virginia. They accused her of being a part of a killing of a state trooper. And they sentenced her to prison. This brother, they say he was the mastermind that developed a plan to get her out of prison. That's why she's in Cuba right now. What he did And what they say he did was get the papers to transfer her from that prison to another prison. Got uniform, badges, and everything. And these brothers walked into the prison with transfer papers, got her out, and got her into Cuba. And that's one of the reasons America would not develop alliances with Cuba, because they want them to turn her over to them. But she's in exile there, and she's been given asylum there. And so those are just some of the beautiful things that we do as a people. And I just, that's what I mean by front line and good news. And Brother Matula Shakur was released for a passionate release because he's suffering from cancer. But they had given him 60 years. I think he did something like 40 or something or more. And they wouldn't let him out. They wouldn't let him out, no matter how sick he was. But people protest, got Congress involved and other people involved. Now he's living with his family, his kids and stuff, and, you know, dealing with his illness. So those are just some of the things that I consider to be great news and good news and frontline news. What about you, Brother Horn, Muhammad? Any good news?
Well, I guess from my perspective, there are some good news. We're about to enter into Savior's Day 2023. The Nation of Islam is going to be celebrating Savior's Day February weekend. It's February 24th to 27th. And it's Honorable Louis Farrakhan has been working in behalf of resurrecting the minds of Black people, improving our condition, making sure that we have the best examples of fatherhood, motherhood to raise our children and our families in the midst of this hellish condition for over 60 years. And it's a great celebration, Muslim celebration that's going to take place in Chicago. And I think that's something that needs to be nationally recognized as just something that's consistent, where Black people of like minds and hopes to carry on a lifestyle that challenges the culture that contributes towards disease, alcoholism, drug abuse, hypersexuality, bad diet, that we have people coming together to challenge those practices as a community in hopes that that kind of spirit will spread nationwide, that Black people can no longer practice the culture that has been killing us since we've been forced to adhere to such a death style culture as products of 310 years of chattel slavery, 100 years of mental and spiritual slavery. So that's the good news, is we're going on our 92nd year here in America. The Nation of Islam, 92 years.
Yeah, the purpose of Savior Day is to recognize the teaching and express appreciation for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He was sent as the last prophet to save Black people from themselves. And so they have this annually every February in Chicago, and Muslim of the Nation of Islam and others come there. Thousands of people come to the mosque in Chicago, and Minister Farrakhan delivers the message. Minister Farrakhan is in his 90s, and he is teaching hard and just as strong as ever. But that's the whole purpose of the Savior's Day. Linda, did you have any comment on that?
No, I really don't have any comments. I'm just listening. And I just think the underlying thing, kind of what you said at the beginning, and I'm gonna say with family. And it's, no matter what we still going through, we still get the family knit.
Okay.
Especially that we started out talking about the brother with the football player who passed out on the field, yeah. And his family was there. And then the brother who started out at the beginning saying his father couldn't be with us tonight, but he's still here. So it's all about family and connecting.
Yeah. That's good. That's good news. Brother Mashenda, what's happening in Louisiana? You there yet? All right, Brother Rossiki.
Yes, we got Sister Making It Happening, Dr. Charles Alexander and Brother DX. I wanna hear what they got to say. I'm gonna chime in a little bit later.
Okay, Brother Charles Alexander, any good news for Black people?
Good evening.
Good evening, brother.
Glad to be here with the Black people. I missed the initial comment, so I'm not sure what the topic is, but I would agree with Sister's comments about the importance of family and the community. And it is absolutely good when we see the family stand up in the wake of a circumstance as we witnessed on Monday night, but we also need we need the family and the community to stand up all the time.
Yeah, we appreciate them that do, and that's a good point, Brother Charles. And that's what we did with Kwanzaa celebration of family, community, and culture. And we celebrated that, and over 40 million people around the world have started celebrating Kwanzaa in various countries in Africa, even in China, India. They got pictures. A collage of pictures that Dr. Karenga showed of people all around the world celebrating Kwanzaa, which is about seven principles, the Nguzo Saba, Umoja Unity, Kuji Chakalia, Self-Determination, Ojima, Collective Work and Responsibility, Ujamaa, Cooperative Economics, Nia, Purpose, Kauma, Creativity, and Imani, Faith. And just a beautiful thing. We start off with candle lighting on the 26th. And I was one of the speakers on Zoom as an elder. And then you light the black candle, then use it to light a red, green, red, green, red for struggle, green for the future. And you do that each day. And on the seventh day, you just meditate. But who's this? Mayofumi Shaba?
Yes, this is Sister Making It Happen. Mayofumi Shaba.
All right.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Great.
Happy New Year, so to speak, and season's greetings, and welcome to the season, and glad that we're all here. So, what's good? New and what's good in the community is we're gathering, we're sharing, we are present, and where are we going for the next 2023? You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to be different? How are we going to grow? You know, how are we going to evolve and be an asset to our family and our community? And number one, show up for yourself. So that's what I like to contribute to tonight's discussion.
Okay. Brother DX, you got your hand up, DX? Okay, Rasha Key. I'm with DX.
I had to unmute. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate what the sister said, basically just the good news of being, you know, involved in such an interesting with everyone being a part and everyone coming in with, you know, such a high level of intellect and knowledge being shared and the ability and the will to be forward. You know, I'm just appreciating everyone. I'm actually one good news. I have a small business. And the class that I'm in, there are four other Black-owned businesses right next door to me. And these are thriving businesses that are owned by us and ran by us. And I just appreciate
where they at. What business is that?
I have a CBD business.
Okay.
I do the CBD and do the health and wellness from that perspective. And just, you know, with my experiences with the herb, different things, I've been an herbalist for about 20 years. And, you know, I don't really promote like a product or anything. Mostly everybody I deal with is personal. Just, you know, helping them in different ways with healing, with herbal baths, you know, different herbs, depending on, you know, what the ailment may be. Just taking time out to, you know, saying help them find their maximum self, be in optimal health, you know. And we have a barber shop next door. There's a nail shop, and also another lady does like pedicures and everything, and they run their own businesses. And I heard recently there's some business going on in New York. I forget the gentleman's name, but he's very popular. They're building one of the tallest buildings in America. It's going to be the tallest building in America in New York. I had to go back and look at the research, but I kind of heard it through the grapevine what they were doing. And I thought that was just really absolutely, you know, just amazing that we coming together to do some, you know, extraordinary things as usual. You know, there's really nothing new. It's just bringing it to the forefront where people can know. And I was glad to hear about Matula. I was actually on the radio station, and we used to promote, you know, advocate him being released. You know what I'm saying? We even had a little session on our radio station where we had like Tupac Ride. We played all Tupac music for like 45 minutes.
Oh, that's good. Brother D.A., make sure you send us information about your business so we can, you know, put it on the website and recommend places.
Yeah.
Are you in California?
No, sir, I'm in Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta. Oh, well, we still put it on the website for people to travel. You know?
Yeah.
And thanks for that good information, because our people think Black people ain't doing nothing. You know what I mean? And you just said, brother, designing and building a tall building. We got four Black people in Atlanta. I got a nephew, a grandson in Atlanta. He's getting a business. He went to go to college there, and then he dropped out to start his own business, and he's still been doing good. But hey, thanks for that. We need that type of information, and even information on the other four businesses that we can let people know who travel about Atlanta. All right?
Right, right. Thank you.
Appreciate that, brother. Make sure you let us know the address and the name of the businesses. Because people travel, man. The Black people travel, man.
I mean, well, we're putting it forward now. Yes, sir. Yeah, like, we're putting it forward now where, you know, we're turning it into somewhat of a pyramid where you can go online and order, like, yeah, different products. So even if you're not in Atlanta, you can be anywhere in the world, you can order the products, have them sent to your front door, and become an affiliate as well. So, you know, you have ailments and different things, and, you know, somebody else that has the ailments, they'll be able to order from you, and you can receive the residuals, you know what I'm saying, and capitalize on your own. So I'll be bringing that forward probably, like, within a week or so, just so I can put the link out, and, you know, anybody that wants to, you know, step out and, you know, into the CBD business, you know, we have everything from, you know, lollipops, honey, we have, you know, candy and different things. And it's all, a lot of our products are health, you know what I mean? So they're vegan, you know what I'm saying? Even some of the gummies, they don't have the pork and stuff in them. So depending on what diet you have or, you know what I'm saying, what you are attaining to do, we have something for it. Regardless, if you don't want to get on the medication, you know, a lot of people on heart medications or, you know, even for children who have like ADD, or, you know, I meet a lot of people that have children that are autistic. Several families I know with autistic children. And one of, like, well, a couple of my main clients, you know, they utilize the CBD, you know, because they don't want to put them on Ritalin or some of the other synthetic drugs, and they're using the CBD. So it's a natural herb, and it's legal in every state. So, you know, we don't have those kind of problems. Dip and nail, whatever you need to do. And that in itself is a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Right. We deeply appreciate that. So give us some information on it, because Sister Linda Shorter, I think in June or somewhere in next month, is Autistic Children Month, Autistic Month. And we're going to feature that whole program on Black people with autism that month. We're going to be discussing those issues, and hopefully you can come back on and talk about your recommendations for to help people with autism and things of this nature. Linda, absolutely. Do you want to make a comment on it?
Linda had her hand up, so she can go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I actually had another question with the brother. Are you working with the Black Walls, New Black Wall Street in Atlanta?
Yes and no. I'm not directly connected with New Black Wall Street, but I am a descendant of the Black Wall Street. My grandfather was one of the last of the five survivors. And I'm originally from Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's where I was born and raised. And so I'm very familiar with the aspect of the Black Wall Street. I have a couple of people that I know personally that have stores and vending in there. The concept of the New Black Wall Street out here is more like, it's more like a mall. I was a little, I'm just going to be honest, perfectly honest with you guys. I was a little disappointed, you know what I mean? Just from the limit, like it's just a mall. Like, like we have flea markets all over the land. And to me, it was just another extension of a flea market. They just called it Black Wall Street. When we know Black Wall Street incorporated everything from hospitals, schools, to, you know, the lumberyard, the theaters. You know, it was a thriving community where the dollar didn't have to leave. You know, in that aspect, even where the building is, I'm sure they're paying rent to the county and some other things. So it's not fully operated by us. You know, the building itself is, you know, still paying rent to somebody else, and it's just a building. You know, I was looking for more of a community type of environment. Like what they did with Greenwood downtown is kind of another slap in the face, because a lot of those businesses aren't run by us. Even in Tulsa right now, they reconstructed the Greenwood, but they didn't give us the upward mobility to be able to run those businesses and get the loans or whatever that we needed, you know, to operate on that level. You know what I'm saying? So it's like putting a Starbucks in the middle of the hood. Like, okay, you are a couple of Black people and you say it's a Black business. Like, no, nah, Starbucks getting that money. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, hey,
I kind of hear what you're saying, but brother, don't get discouraged with the New Black Wall Street, because there's some sisters and brothers that are members of the Nation of Islam that have opened up shop there. And they're trying to focus on community also. So if you can make sure you put your information in the comment section, so I can get you in touch with them. That's just debating.
Okay. All right. All right. Brother Baba Keeley, you have any comments?
Recording in progress. Recording in progress.
Looks like my husband's trying to get on, but he's having some audio difficulties. So,
all right.
Trying to work that out.
All right, then. So, all right, Brother Rashiki.
All right. So, I just want to share the root of this gathering here. And it's about us, the CEN organization. There's the Community Education Network is a platform for people who aspire to improve the human condition. This website will feature a multitude of people from many backgrounds that can contribute useful information related to their particular expertise. So we have a few people on here that's a part of our team. So that's me right there. Then we got Professor Amin Ra. There's Joe Hembrick. We have Brother Tommy Lee is on here, Brother Thomas. We got Professor Shabazz. Pronounce your first name for me, please. Sister Shabazz. Moyofune. She's on here. And then we have Sister Linda Shorter. So with this, we have an excellent collection of people that's a part of the team and that comes on the podcast, and they're featured here. And then, Brother, we can put your information here. Brother Dr. V, I think your name is Dr. Vega. Here's our recommendations page. Yes, sir. So you can put your information on here. And you get it. So our collection and our gathering of individuals is a part of Blacks, you know, improving our condition. So I just want to mention that. All right, Professor Rock.
No, okay. I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Thomas to make discuss issues that he thinks is very relevant. Because, you know, he was scheduled to have his father on. But he's always ready. Go ahead, teach, brother. As an educator for Compton Unified School District, long time a member of the Nation of Islam, serious brother about his diet, serious brother about his love of Black people and his efforts to uplift the young people that he come in contact with. So, brother Thomas Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you, Baba Ra. I want to thank everybody for coming on today. And a topic that comes to mind is what Professor Ra opened up with concerning Damar Hamlin. I looked online and I saw a lot of different information about the situation, and it's perplexing to see what's, you know, how the nation is responding to it. There were some things on there that kind of let you know that there's some questions about like what really occurred. I don't know how many of us actually looked at the video of the hit. Baba Rod, did you see the video of the hit? Did anybody, Brother Baba Akil?
It was a regular tackle. When he got up, he fell down.
Yeah, so the hit, I played football in high school. I played football when I was younger. I'm not a professional football player. I'm not. But I looked at it and I was like, at first I remember the report was about a head injury. It was like they were talking about some type of a head injury that could have caused cardiac arrest, some type of brain trauma that could have somehow shocked the system or something that could have caused the heart to have complications. And then I did further research and I found that there was actually a lung or some type of respiratory issue as well. I read an article where the doctors chose to put him on his stomach so that he would relieve the pressure on his lungs as if there was some type of a congestion or some type of a blockage in his lungs. You know, so I want to just pose that question to the group. Did anybody do any additional research behind some of the questions that's spreading all over the nation, the internet, about what could have caused something like this? Was it a blow to the head, where I look, you know, where when the tackle clearly is not like a head tackle, it's more like a chest tackle. You know what I'm saying? Like a regular, you know, a regular hit. Like I was taught, like in football, we're supposed to kind of hit with our chest, you know, and it would seem like a regular chest hit. It didn't seem like there was a projectile jettison head hit, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? So has anybody else looked at that and questioned like some of the information out there that the doctors are trying to put that was initially stated and now they're trying to kind of pull back from and say maybe it's something else, you know? Because like I said, when I read about the lung thing and that the doctors had to put him up his stomach and that he has a respiratory, like he has one of those respiration things on his to like help him breathe, as if similar to some type of COVID thing, you know?
Yes, sir.
You know, similar to some type of COVID reaction. Yeah.
Some people, some white boy got online and said, there are a lot of people that took the COVID shot and been dropping dead. And then they criticized him, but his family, his mother, them spelled all of that.
Yeah.
And but the issue is that football is a collision sport. I mean, whenever you got to put on pads and a helmet, that's something serious. And you're playing against 300-pound people, that's a little Volkswagen that's hitting you. And for those people that play football, hey, that's their thing. You know, they're trying to get paid, they're trying to get scholarships, or they just enjoy the sport. But, you know, as people get more conscious of the danger, people drop dead all the time. You know, the heart just stopped. I mean, but some people always think there's something behind it, you know, because, you know, they just don't like to deal with death, you know, especially young people. And what I heard, what I read and was told, that they felt that the electricity, the electric aspect of the heart got short circuit, and that's what made him collapse, and they had to resuscitate him. They took him to the hospital, and they revived him. His heart had stopped. He went into full cardiac arrest. Pumped his chest. Bob Ali, you have a comment?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I also think about they were all forced to get their vaccination. They were all forced to do that.
Yeah, they were.
So, you know, you have the whole league that has that chemical in them. And then when they start dropping dead, like the masses overtaking that shot in the boosters, is, you know, is what are you going to believe? You know, is, you know, this devil with his magic potion, or, you know, our elders on, you know, what we should be taking. Because I'm tired of following anything that this devil has to say. Because ain't none of it work. Let me not even keep on going on that. I digress. Yeah, well, God. Yeah.
You know, but, well, anyway, you know, I took the shot and I'm going to take the boosters because, you know, black people was involved in it. The black sisters that helped develop the RNA. It was black doctors, black professionals.
Oh, okay.
So we waited to see. We waited before we just jumped in and took it. But when black people like Michelle Obama and Obama, and when black doctors, and the first person that took the shot was a sister, she's still walking around. And so, you know, but I respect those that don't take the shot. Don't
get I'm me pretty wrong. Sure. Hey, God, I am pretty sure Obama got a different shot than the rest of us.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure his whole family got another potion. Not the regular one that we all got. The rest of us got, God.
All right. Can I chime in, Robert, please?
He consciously knew that he was getting a different shot from us just to get us to get the shot.
His wife, believe you me, is not going to take the same shot you going to get, God. That is not going down.
Okay.
That is not going down.
All right, man.
Okay, we got
I respect your position.
Thank you. Thank you, God. He is going to protect his family. That's his number one duty.
Okay, we have two people that got their hand up. Let's go to Brother Charles. Dr. Charles.
Thank you, brother. Just one point, a couple of points of clarity. With regard to this sudden cardiac death piece, there's been a steady increase in those rates for the past 20 years. And there's also literature that says that the most vulnerable population with regard to that are athletes. And in this particular case, what they're saying is that, you know, so he came in high to make the tackle. So there was direct contact. And, you know, brother had mentioned this, is the, you know, the runner's helmet hit some, you know, kind of square in the chest. And so the speculation is that split second caused an arrhythmia that resulted in the sudden cardiac arrest. So, I mean, he was able to stand up, and then he has that, you know, the arrhythmia, and then he collapses, because at that point, you know, his heart probably stopped beating at that point. And again, they administered the CPR. They were able to get his vitals back, but they lost him again on the way to the hospital, and then were able to get him back. But he, from the time that this has occurred, he has not been breathing on his own. So he's been on some type of respirator device this whole time. So, you know, So that's how we get to that point. The other point with regard to the vaccine, the entire NFL is not vaccinated and was not made to be vaccinated. But if you didn't get vaccinated, you had to take regular tests. And if you failed tests, then you weren't able to play. So that's what was going on during the height of the pandemic. And so now I'd imagine it is the same, that they probably have some kind of test protocol. But if those brothers choose not to get, or whoever is in the league chooses not to get vaccinated, they don't have to. I don't know about this gentleman in particular. I don't know if he had any pre-existing heart conditions, but this is an issue. And my concern is that it's really only an issue because we saw this happen with this brother on TV on Monday night, when the fact of the matter is that the time period from December 25th to January 7th, during that time period, is the largest number of cardiac deaths every year.
Right.
And so that's the issue, and that's what we should be aware of. And we're disproportionately affected by that. And we die more when we have that experience in the community, and we die more when we have that experience while we're in a medical facility. And so,
brother,
go ahead, brother.
So why is that? That's interesting. Is it because it's cold, or
that is one of the hypotheses? Actually, one of the hypotheses is that the cold air, you know,
the winter solstice. The winter solstice and the holiday season, people eat themselves and eat.
That's another part of it, is that we have behavioral changes.
It's a rare black person that don't get 20 pounds of chilling for New Year.
That is also a part of the problem. So there are hypotheses that say that that some of this has to do with the weather, but that piece has kind of been debunked, because there are other places, or even if you look at the United States, this is a issue across the U.S. So even in the southern states, where you know typically that temperature, you know, there's a significant temperature variance, you're having that same experience down there, even with the relatively warmer temperatures at this time of the year. But what is consistent throughout, as Baba was just saying, is that there's some significant behavioral changes that occur within the context of these holiday seasons: increased drinking, increased eating, less working out. You know, so we do a lot of stuff at this time of the year.
Doesn't drinking like thin the blood out?
Drinking thins the
blood out. That should really like counter the overeating of oils and stuff like that that would clog your blood up. So
I'm not sure if about the thinning of the blood part of it, but this is the phenomenon, and this is what going on. Now, one of the things that we could do with regard to the community piece is we need to be trained in CPR and the use of the AED, because you don't have long. You have to respond immediately when these circumstances happen. And so sometimes, even when people are not alone, when this occurs, the people who are with them don't have the ability to perform, CPR. So those are seconds lost. And by the time if and when the emergency responders arrive, even if you're able to bring that person back at that point, they're probably, have some significant organ damage, significant brain damage because of the lack of oxygen and blood flow for that period of time.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dr. Charles. We got a DX got his hand up. Hey, DX.
Yeah. Can y'all see the elephant in the room? There's a big fat elephant. And I'm going here, y'all. And forgive me if I offend anyone. Oh, well, you're going to be offended. Listen.
Okay, hold. Time out.
I just got to say this.
Just speak.
I'm listening to the conversation.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm a person. I'm a man. I live in America. I walk and breathe. You know what I'm saying? I have my experiences with my family, with everybody else, just like everybody else. I'm born out of a vagina. I didn't come on here through no walls or fly out of no aircraft. I came through the vagina. I didn't walk the path. All right. So if we looking at this, I don't know if anybody's seen the documentary called Sudden Death. It's a documentary that was made by the Morticians of America. Okay. And they all got together and figured out something wasn't right when they started doing these autopsies and draining the blood. Their machines were getting clogged. So they came together and they said, this is the first time this ever happened in history. Okay. So it's something that they have literally put in the bodies of people that's clogging the blood, that's causing people to have strokes and have heart attacks. If you do any kind of research on this vaccine, you will know that they told you up front that it's going to change the structure of your DNA and that it has a RNA ribo, whatever it is, that's going to change the structure of who you are as a person. You know what I mean? So in a conscious way, the decisions that's being made by individuals, whether you take the shot or didn't take the shot, or what the consequences might be or what they are and who we trust, like my brother said before, who are we trusting? Who are we listening to? We don't trust some of these folks that's been advocating for our demise since day one. And if you got people that believe what they say, okay, you got a doctor, yeah, you need that doctor in there, because you got folks that are saying, hey, these are white folks, but they need us for the knowledge, for the information, for the put it all together, because they can't do it without us. We got all these diseases and vaccines come from a black woman in the first place. Y'all know the history. You know what I'm saying? So if we looking at this from a perspective of what could have happened to this man, what could have happened to this person, there's been thousands of athletes that have fainted and died while they're playing their sports around the world. not just one person to fall out all of a sudden. It's an uproar. It should have been an uproar last year. They had over 300 athletes that died in America playing their sports, and not just professional. We're talking from adolescents all the way up. This is the one incident that maybe it'll bring it to the forefront. It's putting the elephant in the room now. Okay, I would advise most of you to go watch Sudden Death and listen to these men and women who are morticians who are telling us where this thing came from and what it is that's inside of these bodies that's causing people to have these problems. I rest.
All right. Bob, Rashid, anybody else? Anything else, Brother Thomas? You know, Charles Drew started blood plasma.
Yeah, I saw the video that Brother DX was talking about, and that also was another concern of mine that because I noticed at the if Brother DX can corroborate, at the end of the video, it showed several people fainting, falling out. Some of them having brain aneurysms and going in a circle as if they were looking at the direction where the brain aneurysm was affecting them, and then they'd fall out. But then you had others that just fell out. They'd get up and they just fall out, or they just and that's how after that hit that wasn't a cerebral hit, that was a regular chest hit. It really had me thinking about that video and how people just fell out. And if you want to just, you know, fast forward, if you were to look at, let me see if I could share the screen real quick. Rossiki, is your share screen disabled?
No, that's it right there.
That's not me though. And I have it on right now. I have it on right now where they're falling out. I just need to, Rossiki, can you share the there we go. All right, so look at this. Watch this, check this out.
This is the greatest port. This is the.
So you guys, look at the athlete. Look at the athlete. Watch.
I wanted people to understand that we're in a fifth generation warfare for the heart and the mind. A stroke, heart.
Friday, a heart attack.
They will do with you what they feel like doing to you. It's the new bullet, it's the new missile, it's the new form of warfare. I wanted people to understand that we're in a fifth generation war. This is deep.
So it just seems, it seems a little bit parallel to me. It seems relative, you know? But the difference between them and DeMar was he was resuscitated immediately, and they were able to pump his chest from whatever was congesting or restricting his heart. A lot of people that passed out in these videos, they didn't have access to immediate health care. And that, I believe, is what I think it was Baba Akil was talking about how,
yes, sir.
You don't have access to certain medicinal
yes, sir.
Resources that contribute towards us dying from certain ailments that if we were to have access, that it would reduce some of those more fatalities.
Yes, sir. Brother Muhammad, may I add on?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. They were pulling stringy like string cheese
out
of the people's veins.
Yes.
That was clogging the heart.
Exactly.
And that was strictly coming from, directly coming from the vaccine.
Yeah.
And I didn't do the research. I've done the research on following them on what's been happening to people, period. Not just our people, but, how it's affecting us. And we must have our counters, still have our counters of boiling oranges and lemons and grapefruit.
Yeah.
And, sending that down our system.
Yeah.
It don't cost much.
Because there's ways, like right now, my father, he vaccinated as well. And I've been, my father, because I don't want anything to happen to my dad. So I said, Dad, there are certain things you can do still so your body can kind of cleanse out as much of the toxins that's in your body. You know, like what you just said, the cleansing, the lemons, the ginger, turmeric, wildcrafted Irish sea moss.
Yeah, just, sticking to what your mama said, too.
Things that can help heighten your body's immunity towards any toxic agent, including whatever you may or may not have put in your body. I mean, I didn't take the vaccine, but I have a pre-existing condition of kidney failure, and I exercise a diet that helps me maximize my performance as an educator, as a professional, as a father. So that's what, we have to consider doing, is taking our lives in our hands and making sure that we think and we do the research and we understand the history of America. Tuskegee experiment was based upon scientific and medicinal research. They used the white coat to gain the trust of the brothers in Tuskegee. You know what I'm saying? They use the appearance that we're here to help, and we have the educational background to do it. So here,
that was a trick.
This shot.
Excuse me, Brother Thomas.
Yeah.
Dr. Charles Alexander has something to say. Dr. Charles, would you like to read what you put in the chat, please?
I just said that this exists before COVID. There's over 20 years solid research on the increase of deaths due to cardiac arrest in Black males under age of 35 and the larger youth athletic population. So it has nothing to do with COVID. This existed before COVID. This existed before the vaccine. This has been going on, certainly been going on before they started generating the data, because that's what precipitated them generating the data. So they've been running experiments, collecting the numbers since at least 2001, which meant it was on somebody's dashboard sometime in the 90s. This had nothing to do with COVID. Part of it, again, is because of those traumas that you're talking about, the medical trauma and the historical trauma, we rightly have concerns about whether or not we can trust the medical establishment. Those are well-founded. We should be concerned. But at the same time, everybody's not doing what you brothers are suggesting. So most of the people who don't trust the medical establishment, they're not getting with an herbalist. They're not consuming fresh vegetables. Many of them don't even have access to those things. And so we can't do both. We can't say no to the medical establishment, absolutely, and not do what's necessary to get the alternatives. And when we don't do that, then we're vulnerable from a health perspective. Mm-hmm. And so that's a part of what we're seeing also. And so when we look at all of this, you know, we don't have access to care, and some of us have pre-existing conditions, and then some of us, you know, are just unfortunate because sometimes those arrhythmias, they just occur, having nothing to do with anything. It happens.
Thank you, Dr. Charles. All right.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Sister Shabazz.
And we're taking questions. Okay, great. So this is a great conversation. And I really wanted the doctor to talk more about preparing with CPR and knowledge and certification. I'm not sure that was a doctor that mentioned that. Because as this is something that likely to occur, how do we then begin to prepare ourselves would be the, in my mind, where we should be having discussion.
Question for me.
So I just would like to expand, if you could please expand a little more. It's not really a question, sir, forgive me. If you could just expand a little more on the value of preparing with CPR, maybe classes or certifications or whatever that is to help be knowledgeable about what is likely to occur, 90% may occur in your lifetime and someone in your presence.
I can answer that, but I thought somebody was about to say something. Was somebody else about to say?
No, go ahead, Dr. Charles.
So you know, you could go through the National Safety Council. You can go through the Red Cross. Probably, you know, wherever, you know, people live, probably the fire department offers CPR trainings. You can usually get them free. If you want to become certified to train, then you usually have to pay for that. But if you're just learning to do CPR and learning to administer the AED, which is what's necessary to shock the heart back into rhythm, and sometimes to jumpstart the heart, you know, if you're trying to get certified so that you could train, then you probably have to pay for that. But otherwise, these things are available to us. And, you know, in addition to CPR and AED training, we need fundamental first aid training. Because, again, first of all, the leading causes of death for us, you know, top five, you know, involve, you know, cardiovascular health, diabetes, cancer, accidents, gunshot wounds, all those types of things. We have to have responses real time when the people around us or sometimes ourselves are experiencing these things, because there's a lot of life loss and a lot of quality of life loss between the onset of whatever the event is and the time that medical professionals can get there. And so if you happen to be in a circumstance where somebody suddenly loses consciousness and you start to administer CPR immediately, you know, and or provide the AED or some combination thereof, that could be the difference in that person's life or death. And, you know, and that's kind of what they were saying the other night. They were saying that they immediately started doing that, although I'm not so sure what they meant by immediately. But it's about capacity in our communities. There's another program that is called Stop the Bleed that you can usually get that free. And all it does, it's about wound care. And because our communities are disproportionately affected by gunshot wounds, we need people who, you know, when the situations are safe and allow such, to be able to run out and bandage wounds and provide tourniquets and do things like literally stop the blood as we're waiting on paramedics to come. That could save somebody's life. Another thing that we need to do that Black folks don't want to do, and that is to give blood. We represent 13% of the population, but there's only 2% of the blood supply that is really serviceable to Black folks. Now, we could take any kind of blood, but we do better with oath. And, you know, we got to think about those things. We experience organ failure at a disproportionate level because our overall health is poor, but we don't want to be organ donors. And so all these things impact our overall health. And so we need to be trained in CPR. We need to be trained AED. We need to be trained in overall first aid, and we need to be trained in wound management, because these are the things that impact our communities on a day-to-day basis. And when we lose people, our conversation usually is, you know, there was no response. Well, we're the first responder. Another thing that you could do wherever you live is to become certified, and that's community emergency response team. That too, you can do for free. Either a police station or a fire department near you probably offers it or can give you ideas about when the next trainings are. But it's total community emergency response training. You know, and so we need those services because we are the first responders.
Thanks a lot.
Brother Rossi Key.
Brother Rossi Key.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Brother Thomas. Go ahead.
Yeah, I posted something on chat that says, according to the Vaccine Adverse Event Report System, VARS, vaccines have been suspect for decades from influenza, tetanus, DTaP, MMR, polio, hep B, HPV, and now COVID and several others. These have had growing list of side effects, both mild, fatal, paralysis, or cerebral, that has plagued citizens of all ages. So that's where the 20 years plus came from, Dr. Charles Alexander. It's not limiting COVID. It's saying that America has suffered from vaccinations for decades.
So additionally, so what I am, I'm a licensed clinical psychologist and I'm a pharmacologist. I'm very clear on all of the vaccine science, and I'm very clear on the side effects. I'm very clear on how they determine the use of not just vaccines, but all medicines. And they do it based on the percentages relative to good or bad. And so there's no medication, none, that is produced that doesn't have side effects. And so again, you all brought up COVID and the vaccine. I was just responding to your answer. And so the issue is when you compare the amount of people. So let's take polio. So would you rather have polio, or would you rather have the polio vaccine? Which would you rather have?
Neither.
Well, that's not a choice, because polio exists.
A choice.
And so the reason that polio is no longer the problem that it was is because of the vaccine. It's not because of some kind of healthy eating, brother. It's because of the vaccine. The vaccine for polio has made polio just about a non-issue. There are some places where it is emerging, but there are some other things that make that complicated. So again, when we do this...
Brother Charles, listen, there's a lot of most people can't even go to Africa unless you get some shot. Most people can't even go to school. When you was in elementary school, you couldn't even check in unless you had a doctor's excuse against vaccine. Let me finish. Yeah. I'll let jump in. Yeah. Second, I'm not telling nobody to get a vaccine. You understand? If they don't want to get it, that's fine. If they have whatever reason they want. But the problem is that you brought out, Dr. Chow, Dr. Alexander, is that many of those vaccines save lives. Now, there are other people that say they don't. They make you sick. that it's a conspiracy, white folks, for population control. I heard every conspiracy out. I'm at the golf course golfing. One of the brothers golfing with us fell out. I gave him artificial respiration until he went to the hospital, but he still passed. I'm at the movie show. This lady named Granny, she fell out. I'm giving her respiration. All schools should give the training of CPR. They used to. When I was going to junior high, that's when they were junior high school. But when they became middle school and they started focusing on tests, they took PE out. And part of PE was health classes. Second, as you brought out, Dr. Alexander, black people, African Americans, and all people should have an emergency kit at their house. An emergency kit in case of an earthquake, in case of another catastrophe, that you have the tape, the antiseptic in case you get cut, and you know how to treat major injuries, chronic injuries, and things of this nature. Now, I'm for the white man Herbert for Scientology. He got people that, you know, that's their religion. They don't want to take it. Many people in the Islamic community don't want to take vaccine. Fine. That's your religious belief. And that's your practice from your leadership and all that. But when you had to go to school, you had no choice. And when you have to travel to foreign countries, even when you're in the military, you have to get shots. But if you think they make you sick, don't take it. You understand? Don't take it. But the people that don't take it want to criticize people that do take it. You know, if I can let you not take it, don't get mad at me, because I know plenty of people that got the vaccine, they still walking around doing good. And then there are people that didn't get it and they failed it. You understand? And what can you, Dick Gregory was a health nut, but he died. Dr. Sebi, he's a health person. He ain't going to live forever. People die. That's all.
Okay, so DX got his hand up, and I think we need to conclude. DX, you have another comment? Okay.
You got to take yourself off mute, Brother DX.
Oh, there we go. Okay, it's off mute. Yeah, thank you. I'm really enjoying the conversation. I think for the most part, if y'all remember back in the 90s when they did the polio vaccine in Africa, they gave everybody AIDS. Before that, you know, you had the trailer tears, you didn't have different situations, they didn't get on Fox people, you know. So there's been a systemic in history where they are, you know, purposely and systematically eliminating people by any means. Whatever it takes for them to do what they're going to do, it takes an influence or a celebrity or somebody. They, you know, just like any other experiment, you always have a control. So, yeah, you're going to get some people who probably got saline and water, and you get some people who got the juice. So in any experiment, right now we are a great big petri dish. Even for the ones who didn't take it, they had people wearing masks and doctor. I don't know, you know, why people would want to breathe their own carbon dioxide. You know what I'm saying? That's just like the waste coming out of your body. You don't drink your own urine. You drink your own feces. You know what I mean? This is waste coming out when you breathe. You breathe in oxygen, something else comes out. Your body is a finely tuned mechanism. It's a finely tuned machine created by the creator to work perfectly. Whatever disease that you think you might have, every disease on this planet has been cured. Every situation of mental health has been fixed. It's all a matter of choice. We do have choices. You always have a choice. And the choices that people are making, my granddad used to say, and grandmama too, an ounce of prevention is a pound of cure. Okay? And people make choices
knowing what the consequences could possibly be. If you eating pork and you're not exercising, you eat McDonald's every day, you know what I mean? And you wind up with some heart condition or hypertension, you know, diabetes or whatever, you know what I mean? It can all be equated to something. Things don't just pop up out of nowhere in your body. You have to participate in something in order for that to happen. And all we're doing on this level, you know what I mean, is educating the community about the consequences of what may happen to you if you take a vaccine. There are alternatives. If you do take a vaccine, I'm going to suggest you get you some black charcoal, activated charcoal, and start ingesting it, bathing in it to make the toothpaste now. You can brush your teeth with it. I would eat it and go on a really good juice fast and start detoxing your body before these things start coagulating in your bloodstream. If you got some relatives, I got some of my relatives that took it. They now doing the garlic and some other things to get your blood right. You know what I mean? You don't need the Coumadin. You use some other things. You know what I mean? They're all natural. Even when the pilgrims came over, there was no pills for them to take. No, we got the herbs out the ground and cured them and helped them with their diseases and their sickness. And they turned around and flipped it on us. So that's what's happening right now. We're going back to the earth. That's the whole movement of what we all should be doing is getting back to the earth. Nobody has an defibrillator in the house. Yeah, we can learn the CPR. I know CPR and some other things. You know what I mean? And in certain cases, CPR is not the answer. You know, and I'm gonna rest on that, and I just appreciate the conversation. I love everybody, and you know, let's just keep up the good work.
Excellent, excellent. So look, I think we should end it now. We've been on for a while. Everybody gave good information, and some of us are expert in certain fields, and some of us are not. And everybody have some of their expertise here, and offering good information. And like brother said, we have choices. And the best thing is to do is make the choice that's going to be most constructive for you. And hopefully, you know, things work out and we can continue doing what we do here on a weekly basis. So, brother Thomas, I appreciate you hosting this evening. Professor Rob, appreciate you stepping in to assist. Baba Akil, next week, let me tell you about next week. Baba Akil and
yes, sir,
and Sister Making It Happen is going to be our guest next week on the show, and they're going to be giving us some information. You want to tell us a little bit about that, Baba Akil?
Well, I'm going to be the host, so I'm going to have to tell us about it. You know how your wife do you. So anyway, there's been a process and a journey that I think is important for the community to be aware of an evolution of a process for prosperity living. And Baba Akil is a visionary and a master at some of the things that he does in terms of just providing skills for young men and for families to be able to, you know, live prosperously. So, going to interview him on his landscaping journey, on his journey towards prosperity living, and the adult care facility journey, which is going to all unfold in his, you know, the home where he grew up in. So it's been a lot happening the last, I'm going to say, 7 years journey. And we're going to share with the community as it's coming to fruition. And the vision has come to pass, and we're going to share with you all that process of what it takes to build a vision for your family and leave a legacy. So that's what we're going to talk about next week. And Baba Akil is going to be that person. We're going to interview him on the journey that he's taking towards this legacy he's built for his family.
Thank you, Mary.
So he's kind of surprised by some of this, but you know, this is what is happening. 2023, here we go. We coming out.
Because brothers, I've been a landscaper for 28 years, dog. Oh, okay. She said don't get a story right now.
You give a snippet.
I've ran a 50-acre farm, brothers. I got you. You know, I'll leave it at that. That's the tease for the next week.
Okay. Excellent. We're looking forward to it. Looking forward
Me
to
too.
It. All right. So look, Dr. Charles, appreciate you, bro. Baba Akil, for coming this evening. Sister making
Thank
it
you,
happen.
God.
Sister Linda, Brother DX. Brother DX shared his information in the chat. So anybody want to see that, we'll be on for a little while longer. You can get that information from Brother DX. And look, appreciate everybody this evening. And yes, go ahead.
Appreciate
Professor
you
Rock.
Too, brother.
Brother Amin Ra, you got to get yourself off of mute, sir.
Brother Horn will be here next Monday, right?
You guys have to talk. I'm not sure.
He said he's going to bring the documentary Black History Lost, Stolen, and Stray.
Well, he said he's going to get with you. So you guys got to discuss.
All right. And then second, on the 16th, we'll be talking about the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, that's the day of his birthday. It's on the 15th. They're probably going to celebrate it on the 16th. They generally do. So, but you know.
Yeah, that Monday, yes. Okay, excellent. Looking forward to that too. All right, folks. Thanks for coming out. So Conscious Corner and Each One Teach One. Everybody have a good evening.
All right.
Peace.